What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 73, Hiring Good Employees with Luke Wilbanks, recorded March 19th, 2014. Luke is the owner and operator of Chick-fil-A on Fairmont Parkway. This is the second time he's been here. Luke does a lot of things to support our school district, our community, just the general area, through his stuff there at Chick-fil-A, but also just personally does a lot to be involved with the community. So I'm really glad to have him here, and he's actually going to help me become a better interviewer, because we're going to interview our incoming students, our eighth grade students that are interested in being athletic trainers or sports medicine students. We're going to actually go over to the middle school and interview them. And since I've never really done that, I figured I might as well bring in an expert, someone who interviews people all the time. If you want to listen live, almost every single Wednesday, we start about 10:30. This, like I said, this time was a little later, but about 10:30 Central Standard Time, almost every single Wednesday, and sportsmedicinebroadcast.com is where you can find those live streams or all the information there. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. All right, so if you will, if you're watching live, you'll, Brianna, will you flip to, wait, did I miss the whole introduction part?
Yes.
I did. It happens. See what happens when stuff doesn't go right, I get out of order. Mm-hmm. All right, of course, I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, and with me today is
George,
Laura,
Edith,
Brianna,
Jocelyn,
Marissa,
Lorena,
Marlon,
and Mr. Luke Wilbanks.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so Marlon is the one that we're going to interview today. So she'll be answering these questions. Marlon is actually a student athletic trainer currently, but we're going to pretend that she's an eighth grader and interested in sports medicine for just the sake of the interview today. And then at the end of it, just so you know, Mr. Wilbanks is going to tell you whether or not he would hire you, why or why not, what things you can work on. But then, more importantly, he's going to tell me how terrible a job I did at interviewing, or how good a job I did. I don't know. We'll see. Okay, so you guys ready for this? Marlon, you ready?
Yes.
All right. All right, so Marlon, I know you filled out the application. You're interested in being a student athletic trainer at Pasadena. What do you think an athletic trainer does?
An athletic trainer is someone who helps athletes whenever they get injured.
All right. Is there any other information you have there?
No.
No? Okay. Okay, what do you do right now at Jackson? And what do you plan on being involved in? So like band, choir, tell me more about those things that you're involved in.
Okay. I'm currently in orchestra. I don't plan to continue in high school. And I'm at Pasadena, I'm interested in athletic training.
All right, so do you plan on doing anything else? There's a lot of organizations and clubs there at Pasadena. A lot of things are going to be looking for your time. That's the only thing you plan to do as of right now?
Not that I know of.
Okay. All right, so tell me a little bit more. Why do you want to be an athletic trainer? What do you plan to do with this after high school, for college, and whatnot?
It might help me in my future because I want to be in the medical field, and I think it's going to teach me more stuff like that.
All right, so tell me more about what are you interested in the medical field?
I want to be a nurse.
A nurse?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think athletic training is a really good start for somebody interested in the medical field. You get to look at a lot of injuries and you get to learn a lot of the basic stuff. So that's good that you're interested in kind of continuing afterwards. All right, so we spend a lot of time after school. You have to sometimes get here early for games to go to tournaments and stuff like that. Sometimes practices end at 5:30, 6:30. Games end at 7, 8, 9, 10. And you have to have a ride home or some way to get home. Tell me how that's going to happen.
Well, my mom can give me a ride to places that I need to be.
All right, so is there any other option, just if maybe your mom is sick, out of town, or working?
Yeah, my dad or my aunts that live around here.
All right, so you got some other family members?
Yeah.
All right, so one of the other things that may be important is finding friends or other student athletic trainers that can give you a ride as well that live in your area. So, all right, like I just said before, there's a lot of time involved. And if you don't pass your classes, you can't work games, so you can't participate and be a full member of what we're doing. So it's important that you're passing your classes. So with it being a lot of time required after school, how do you think you're going to be able to handle after school requirements and your schoolwork requirements?
Do all my work in classes, like try to keep everything on track. And yeah.
All right. Okay, so this one's a little bit more fun. Are you ready?
Okay.
If you could have a superpower, what would it be and why?
Invisibility.
Why?
Because, like, I could sneak up on people, like, yeah, and they wouldn't know I'm there.
I think if I could pick one, I would fly. I'd be able to fly. It'd be my superpower. I mean, I enjoy riding my bike to work and all, but...
No more car wrecks.
Yeah, no more car wrecks for George. That was part of the...
I think I have bad luck. I'm cursed.
I mean, you just have to watch out for the birds.
Yeah, I have to watch out for the birds.
And the poop.
Okay. Now we're going back to the interview. Here we go. Sorry. What do you expect to happen in the athletic training? So what are your thoughts of what we will do, what you will be required to do? What do you expect out of it?
Hard work.
Are you expected to be hard work?
Yeah, but fun. Wait, did I answer that right?
Well, I mean, this is what you expect. It's not a yes or no question. It's
okay, yeah, that's it.
All right. To be fun, hard work. All right, here we go. Tell me why I should pick you. What sets you apart? Why are you different? Why should I pick you over the next person that I'm going to interview?
Because I'm dedicated. Like, if I can't be somewhere, I'll let you know ahead of time. Yeah.
All right, so you're dedicated and you feel like you communicate well if there's a change in schedule or something like that?
Yeah.
All right, so there's, you know, we do a pretty good job of posting the schedule so that you know it 2-3 weeks in advance. Is that something that you can communicate with your parents? Hey, this is what is expected of me. This is when I'm supposed to be there.
Yeah.
All right. And then do you feel like your parents are going to be supportive of that? They're going to allow you that? Or are they going to, you know, sometimes we have kids that, well, my mom told me just now that I have to go home and babysit because she doesn't feel well. Do you feel that, you know, that's going to be a problem?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Well, Luke, you have any other interview questions while we're still on the little mock interview part?
Why do you want to be an athletic trainer? I know you asked that in our earlier question. I just want to hear it again. What do you want to do with it? What do you want to be? What drives you to want to do that besides all the cool people you have around you in this room? Besides that, what is it about it specifically that you really, really like about it?
Well, I've always been interested in the medical field because, like, my grandpa, he got sick a while back, and I thought, like, how they brought him back to normal was really cool, like, and I want to do that someday.
Excellent.
All right, very cool. That's a good question, good way to ask it. Yeah, anything else?
I think that's it.
At the top of your head? All right, so... From there, we'll go into what would be, that'll conclude our interview, thank you, and then I would see you. Have a good day, Marlon. We'll let you know soon.
Oh, no, just kidding.
All right, so then from there, what would be your next step? And when you're normally interviewing at Chick-fil-A, is it just you or do you have a team with you?
That's a good question. Typically what we do is we have 3 different interviews. Now that's expanded. When we first started, we would do 1 interview and that would be it when I first started doing interviews. But now we go through a 3-step process where you interview. We had one yesterday. One of my managers interviewed. Then I did the second interview. Then we'll have a 3rd and final interview. And the reason for that is we ask some of the same questions. But it's so we get consistency because someone can hit a home run on one swing at the bat, especially on an interview. They can sound really good. And that's actually what... what we're trying to eliminate is nowadays in interviews, y'all are coached so well in high school. I'm not so sure how the eighth graders will be doing. I'm not sure if they coach them that young. But everyone that comes in for an interview, they seem really, really good in the interview. And then they finally get hired and we go, wait a minute, who was the person that was in the interview? Because it's not who I just hired.
Right.
And so we really try to do multiple interviews, different types of people. For instance, my right-hand guy, he's a very hands-on guy. I'm a people person. And then the next person is going to interview this person we interviewed yesterday. She's real serious and just really down to earth and just, okay, tell me exactly, be straight up with me. And so we've got three different people interviewing her. So if she is the same, we'll know that, but also we'll see three different sides and three different perspectives. And if any one of us don't want to hire her, we don't hire. It's not a, you got to get two out of three votes. It's a, you got to get three out of three votes. And so that really helps a lot.
Wow, that's pretty good. So when we set this up, in your opinion, would it be best for us to have two interviews, or just since it's a little bit different situation? I mean, we have the application, which they had to fill out, and then we're going to go interview them. I'm not sure if we'd be able to go back and interview them again.
Right, and that's all. The practical side of it is always difficult because we go, man, you're going to come back to Chick-fil-A three different times. You know, now that's good for sales because sometimes they'll buy a sandwich or something. but the interview process doesn't really help out. So we do try to do two back-to-back. And we kind of know, I mean, if you come to Chick-fil-A and you get an interview and they say thanks for coming, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're not hired. But if I'm there or Dallas is there or another manager's there that can interview, usually we'll try to do two back-to-back interviews. And so now we have what we call interview guides, and we've got an interview guide number one and interview guide number two to really help the interview folks. And so they'll do one, and if they like the responses, then they'll set up the interview right then with the next one. So maybe when you do two at the same time. And really, when you get that second interview, sometimes they'll open up. The first one, they're scared to death. You know, it's like, especially an eighth grader, they're going to be looking at you going, okay, you know. And then the second one, they kind of open up a little bit, which can be good because you really get to know who they really are. But it also can be bad because then you get to know who they really are.
Yeah.
And so that second interview may be more key than the first one. The first one may just be to get them comfortable. And then that second one may be to say, hey, you know, who are you really? And so that may be a way you can do it. Now, you may not need two interviews. There are some people we interview, and we know they're awesome in the first interview, or we've heard of them. A friend will recommend them, or someone at the store knows them, and they'll give them a good review. And that's really what we go to now, is based on what other people are saying. And so if someone knows that person, you know, if I hear that, oh, well, I know Sadie who works at Chick-fil-A. Okay, well, then I'll go ask Sadie, how is this person? Oh, they'd be great. They're awesome. And so if you know these folks, it really helps out as well.
So if you go to Chick-fil-A and eat often, make sure you make friends with the people there if you're trying to get a job.
There you go.
Or if anyways, just go eat at Chick-fil-A often. Okay, so we'll talk more about things that I can do to improve and things they can do to improve. But it's just in your perspective, again, I know you're not an athletic trainer and you're not hiring for athletic training, but would you accept Marlon to be an employee, basically?
I most likely would. And now when we make hiring decisions at our store, we kind of know, okay, how many spots do we have available, two or three, and then how many are we interviewing? And we'll interview 10 to 20 for two or three spots. And so we kind of go with the best one.
Right.
Now, if we interview 20 and none of them are worth it, then we don't hire them. We don't just fill the spot to just fill the spot. But she did an excellent job. You could tell she knew what athletic training was. You could tell she had a passion for it. I like the example she gave at the end with her grandfather. And so that was real good. It's a personal story. There's something more motivating her than just, I want the job, or I just want to be in this class so I don't have to be in another class, or something like that. And so you could tell that she was really bought in to that. And so I would give her a shot on that. So good job.
Thank you.
All right. So I did really like how you asked that same question that I already asked, but when you asked it, she opened up a little bit more. What do you think that was, because she had already answered it once, or do you think it's maybe the way you phrased it?
I think it's a little bit of both. And I made some notes here on the interview. And that's one of the things we look for, is we look for specific examples. You did an excellent job, by the way. You don't do a lot of interviews, you couldn't tell. And so there are some small things you can make changes on. Mm-hmm. I'll go over those. But for the most part, I mean, the questions you asked were very pointed and to the point. They weren't open. They were open-ended questions instead of closed-ended. You did ask a couple of closed-ended questions, but it was just clarifying. And so it wasn't just a simple yes or no. And so it was really good. But I think the phrasing of it is, we look for specific examples. And so one question we asked, I think he asked, was something about, she answered, you ask, are you very dedicated? You have to be dedicated and committed to this. I'll follow up with a specific example of that. Because a lot of times in interviews, You were asking a question, and it was like, would you be able to make it to work on time or school or the project on time? 9 times out of 10, they want the job, so they're going to say yes. It's kind of like saying Jesus in Sunday school. You know, what's the answer? Jesus, and you're 9 times out of 10, you're right. And so, I mean, she knows she's interviewing for a sports medicine position, and if you say, well, do you like sports medicine? If she says no, it's not really going to be there. So with that being said, what I would ask is some kind of specific examples. One we ask is, do you like to serve people? And if they say yes, that's what we're looking for, right? But I'll ask for a specific example. And sometimes we'll get some people that go, well, I serve all the time. Oh, okay, give me an example of that. And they're like, oh, well, all the time. Mm-hmm. And if someone really does serve all the time, they should have an example. You know, your example with your grandfather. That's what I wanted, an example. It wasn't just a, do you like sports medicine? I do. Well, is that because it's cool? You know, is it because Jeremy Jackson is awesome? Or is it because you really enjoy what is a part of it? So we really try to ask specific examples. Now, one thing you did well was you were okay with silence. And I know on the sports medicine broadcast, you probably don't want a lot of silence.
Yeah.
But in interviews, you do. And the rule of thumb is that you want the interviewee to talk a majority of the time. And I found the less I talk, the better my interview has gotten. And so if I can ask questions without having to explain them, there was one question that she asked, she was trying to ask a clarification question about why, and you kind of put it back in her court. Well, how do you define that? And that's great, because a lot of times what I've experienced is that I'll ask, you know, do you like to serve? Or give me an example of service. And they'll go, what do you mean, at work, at home? And then I'll give them an example of, oh, well, at work we take the trays out for the guests. Guess what? Oh, well, yeah, I carry out trays. I would do that. And so I end up hiring myself because I've given them all the answers. And so silence can be good. And you did a great job putting the ball back in her court. You know, well, what do you mean sports medicine? Well, what do you think it is? You know, and so you did an excellent job on that, putting it back in her court there. So I enjoyed that. Let's see. Other great things, the pauses were good. I like that she was very upfront and going with the instincts, and you accepted that. What I mean by that is you would ask a question, and she was very quick to answer, which is great. Sometimes people don't interview well, and they take a lot of time to think about it, which is okay as well. But she was very good at coming up with her answers fast. Sometimes as interviewee or as the interviewer, we'll hear the answer, and we're like, is that really the truth? So we'll dive in a little bit further. You didn't do that, and that's great, because a lot of times their first instinct is really who they are. And so that was really good. You took that in as there. Let's see. I did like that all the questions had to do with the job. And that's legality-wise. I know in the school it's a little bit different, but in the work world, everything has to go back to the work, the job. If everything can be tied to it, even like the superpower, you know, you're testing creativity. You know, you're not really wondering what superpower would you want, but you're testing, are you creative? Because I'm sure when you're on the field, if you run out of tape or run out of something, you've got to figure out something to help the player to do that. And so it really can tie back to that. And so, for instance, we can't ask about disabilities. That's illegal. And we don't want to ask about that.
Right.
But we can ask, can you stand for long periods of time? Because, number one, we have to have people that can stand for long periods of time. Now, are we marking them down because of the disability? No, not at all. We just want to make sure that if they have one, that they can work. And if they have a disability, but they can still stand for 5 to 8 hours, perfect. We're okay with that. And so it was really good that every question was focused on the position at hand. And I think that was great, and you were able to tie that back into there. Any questions for me yet?
What did you dislike?
Dislike. That's my next slide here. I do try to go probe a little bit. When it gets to my interview, usually I do the third interview, and I try to ask one question that I have written down, but then I try to listen to their answer and try to probe a little bit further. Not in the way that I'm looking for a different answer, but it's just kind of why. And there was one question that she answered. We were asking about the lots of commitments, and she said, you're in orchestra, but you're not going to be in orchestra next year. And which to me, it sounds like a good thing because, okay, you're going to be all for us, you know. But I found that when people say, I don't do anything else, I just want to work at Chick-fil-A, I kind of go, that's all? I mean, you sit at home and eat Cheetos and play video games and you only want to work at Chick-fil-A? I will actually want the ones that are busy. It wasn't against you. We just didn't follow up on that question. But my question would be, okay, so why do you not want to do orchestra anymore? We found that sometimes we get some job hoppers. They're at a job for 3 months. They get tired of it and move to another one. I think that's one thing you may want to be careful of, is that, okay, she tried orchestra for 1 or 2 years, didn't like that, so she quit that, or something happened there and didn't want to do that. Now she's going to come to sports medicine, give her a month or two, and she's not going to like that, and then she's going to move on to something else. So you may ask a follow-up question that's still broad, but still go off of her instincts. I mean, I didn't count her off because of that. I'm guessing she had a good reason for it, but I would ask that, kind of go in a little bit further on
that. So on that, so, all right, Marlon, is there any reason you would or do you plan on doing anything else in high school besides athletic training?
I don't know yet.
Are you currently involved in anything?
Yeah, I'm in orchestra, but I don't plan to continue in high school.
So then where would you go from there, Luke?
I would probably at that point say, well, what do you like about orchestra? What do you dislike about orchestra?
I dislike that... Wait, no. I like that they're like really cool. Things I don't like is that I'm not very good and I'm always in the back. But yeah.
So what happens if you come on the sports medicine side? What if you're not the best at sports medicine?
I would try harder like I did in orchestra, but I didn't succeed in orchestra, so I'm trying a different thing.
Excellent. I think those are good answers. And see how I kind of took what was the reason in orchestra. I wasn't asking if she didn't like singing or anything. If she just said, well, I don't like to sing, I probably would have ended there. But because she said I wasn't good at it, my concern is that if she goes to sports medicine and she's not good at it, is she going to bail out as well? Now, I did like that you followed up and you said, well, I tried really hard and I just didn't succeed. Because there are lots of things we continue to try that we're not good at and we should quit. You know, we should have some necessary endings. But it's really good that we move on. And I just want to make sure it wasn't a moving on because she didn't try. And it sounded like you tried in orchestra and you tried even more and it still didn't work out. So it's good that you're moving on to something else. And so that's great.
All right.
Does that help a little bit?
Yeah. That's exactly what I wanted. I wanted to see, you know, because it's easy for you to say, just ask a follow-up question. Then I'm thinking, you know, one, we're on the broadcast. So I don't want a big, long pause. But at the same time, it's a little bit awkward just sitting there with silence, especially if you don't have a plan of, well, this is what I'm going to ask. And so, you know, you interview a lot of people. You have a pretty good idea of what am I going to ask if she says this? What am I going to ask if she says that? That kind of thing. And so that's exactly what I wanted, was some examples for me and then also good for them and anybody listening. So
right, and it's always good to have. I mean, I've got a list of 5 or 10 questions that I go to, because you do get to the end of the line of questioning on one of them and there's nothing else to say, and you're like, all right, well, let me move on to the next question. And so now we'll say we kind of go with two big questions. The big question is, why do you want to work at Chick-fil-A and why should we choose you, which you asked the last question. I love that. Now one question I do start out with is, tell me about yourself. And that's always a good one to start with. And if you're ever going to interview, I think anywhere ever you interview, you're going to be asked that question. Just tell me about yourself. And that's always a common question for someone to go, well, what do you mean? And that's where you go, I just want to get to know you. Because in my opinion, that's what an interview is. I want to get to know you. Some people can manufacture the right answers, but they can't manufacture your life. And so if you can tell me kind of who you are, what you like to do, you can relate it to sports medicine or you can relate it to Chick-fil-A. But I kind of want to really get to know you. And so that's why I ask at the beginning the first question I lead with, and it gives me some time to kind of read them and see what all they're going to tell me. And so now I'm not looking for reasons not to hire them in that. I just really want to get to know you, but I always lead with that question. All right, tell me, who are you, Stephanie, or whatever it is? Tell me who Stephanie is. And sometimes people will take 10 minutes and tell you their whole life, and sometimes people will take 2. Either way is fine. You just really get to know them. But then I go into, why do you want to work at Chick-fil-A? Because that's important. I say, you know what, there's a lot of jobs down on Fairmont that you could interview for. Some you can make more money at. So why do you want to work at Chick-fil-A rather than these other places? And that was kind of answered with your grandfather question. You had a motivation behind it other than I want a paycheck or I want to learn about sports medicine. Find out what your generic answers are. You know, like the number one answer to that question, why do you want a job at Chick-fil-A? Guess what it is. Anybody want to take a guess?
Money.
Money, exactly. They want money, they want a job. And I go, well, who am I going to interview that doesn't want that? They're right. All looking for a job. You know, they're all looking for this. And so you may find some of the eighth graders you interview, they're just interviewing because, oh, well, I have to get a class or I need another class. And those would be the ones I would strike out immediately. You know, we very rarely hire someone that says, well, I just need a job. We want someone that really wants the job. Well, we love what Chick-fil-A does. We love what you do in the community. We love that you came and spoke to our class. You seem like a fun person to work with. It seems like a fun atmosphere. We want those kind of responses on that. And so, but that's kind of always my two fallback questions is why you and why Chick-fil-A? Now, I do have to say, I have to take the why you question. I found lately that there's a lot of humility in this generation when you're interviewing them. When you're not interviewing, there's a lot of pride, which is good for the most part. But in interviewing, sometimes you'll get some really shy people that don't want to talk about themselves. In the interview, that's the time to talk about yourself. Now, don't be prideful and conceited and all that, but we do want to know what your strengths are. And so I interviewed one lady one time, and I said, so tell me why we should choose you over the other. I mean, we had already gone through five or six interviews, and that person saw that we interviewed those. I said, so the other five people we interviewed, why should we choose you instead? And the person goes, I don't know. And I mean, she may not have really known, but that doesn't help me make a decision, except for the fact that I'm probably not going to hire her. And so you can still be humble about it, but you definitely want to talk about yourself on that. So why you and why Chick-fil-A, or why do you want to be in sports medicine? Those are the two fallback questions or general areas that I would go down. That's really what you want to know. Now, there was a question I really, really liked. Let's go back up a little bit there. I like that you weren't just interviewing her for the position, but you were explaining kind of what it's like here. And we actually have a book that you flip through the book. There's a picture of a toilet and someone cleaning it in the book because we want to make sure that they understand what they're getting themselves into. Our pastor says it best at our church. He says, you know, we don't mind you leaving. How does he say it? He says, we don't mind you walking away from Sagemont. We don't want you to join Sagemont until you know what you're getting yourself into. But we don't want you to walk away until you know what you're walking away from. Same thing at Chick-fil-A. I don't want you to jump into Chick-fil-A thinking that we're all wonderful and everything's perfect. It is a job. There's tough days. We want to make sure you understand that cleaning the toilet. And some people see that picture and they go, oh, well, I actually have to do that. It's a possibility. And so they kind of go, okay, this isn't for me. And so I like that. I forget what it was, but you were talking about this is what the athletic training program is like. This is what you have to do. And it kind of really let them interview you as well. They're interviewing for they want to know about the job. I don't know how many of the eighth graders know about the sports medicine program, what all it takes. You may even have someone put together a pamphlet or some pictures of this is what it's like. You know, it's midnight and we're just now getting home, or this is the responsibility you have to have. And so you may say, this is how it really is. Is that okay with you? Because they want to get to know you as well. They want to get to know the company or the school or the program, so they get to know them. So I really like that part about it.
I think it was, I said, what are your expectations of the athletic training program? Is that the one?
Yes.
Because that's where I talked about it.
Went a little more detailed on what expectations there are. But that's really great as well, because what do you want to learn here? You know, what do you want to learn in this program? If really you're just like, well, I just want to get credit for it, okay, then we probably don't want you in it. It would be my assumption there. But if you really want to learn to help, for that example of your grandfather, then that would really say, all right, seems like someone that's really motivated.
Yeah, what we did for this year, what we did last year as well, is we have a pamphlet, you know, showing pictures and some of the stuff we did and what we're looking for. And then I actually took this class and we visited the schools during lunch. And so, you know, I talked for like about 2 minutes saying, hey, this is who I am. This is what we do. This is something you can do next year. These are my students. Talk to them while you're sitting and eating lunch, so that, you know, they have a chance to talk to any of my students that are currently doing this about, hey, what it is that we do, you know, what they like, don't like, and then they can give them a pamphlet where they can fill out the application online and that kind of thing. And so for me, it feels like the best way, because then they get to talk to the people that are actually doing it and that are doing what they will be doing. And it's a lot less fearful for an eighth grader to talk to somebody that was there last year versus me. So,
right. And that's excellent marketing as well, because a lot of the eighth graders may not even know about the sports medicine program. A lot of people, you'd be surprised, that come in Chick-fil-A and say, I've never been to Chick-fil-A. Now, some of you go, wow, where are they living?
Exactly.
But there are people here in Pasadena that have never eaten at Chick-fil-A, and they'll walk in and say, it's my first time here. And it's just amazing, you know, but there's a lot of people, that's great marketing to send that out and say, yeah, hey, this program is available, because it's a great program. I love what y'all do here with the broadcast and what you teach them. And so I think it's great that they learn that. But if they don't know about it, they may not know that this is something they want to do. So that's excellent marketing, I believe.
All right. If you were to coach Marlon, I mean, I know that you've done a lot here throughout the talking, but maybe there's some things that if she was hiring somewhere else or even at Chick-fil-A, what are some of the things that you would say to look for? You know, dress, you always hear about dress professionally with, you know, a button-down shirt, that kind of thing, and or whatever is appropriate, you know. What are some of the things that you might coach her on?
Okay, dress, I'll start with that one. I always say you want to dress to where you stand out in a good way. So, for instance, if everyone here was coming to interview at Chick-fil-A, if everyone wore exactly what they're wearing now, but maybe you wore a dress or a suit or something like that, who's going to stand out? You are, right?
Marissa.
Yeah, she would. Marissa would stand out in that. If everyone came and everyone wore a suit and dress or slacks or something like that, but she wore exactly what she's wearing now, who's going to stand out? Marissa would still stand out, right? But for the wrong reason, right? And so I always say take it one notch above, okay? What do you expect? I mean, at Chick-fil-A, I ask people, would you wear a suit? I talk to classes every now and then. One thing I'll ask is, who would wear a suit? You know, and some people say, well, not me, it's fast food. And we don't have everyone wearing a suit there. But I tell you, the ones that do dress up a little bit, they tell me that they really want the job. I'm not looking at the dress. I'm not looking to go, oh, are they pretty? Are they ugly? That's not a condition of employment. But what it does tell me is that, okay, this person set out their clothes. They made sure they had them. Sometimes they have to borrow a nice shirt or something like that. They may not have one, so they had to borrow it. Had to make sure it was ironed or that their mom ironed it. Then they had to go home and change and then come to the interview. And did they get their own time? And if they did, wow, they really want the job, as opposed to so-and-so that just left school and they got over there and ate a sandwich and was ready just the way they were. So dress to me communicates, is this what they everyday wear, or did they dress up a little bit for me? Because that tells me that they really, really want the job on that. So I would say that. The next thing I would do, and this is for everyone, is make sure you know your story. Sometimes when you're asked in front of someone and you're on a mic and someone's asking you, well, tell me about yourself, you kind of forget about it. You know, even though you know your story very well, I would make some key points, and I would make sure you include some strengths in there. We're not wanting to know that you have two dogs and a cat and all this stuff. But, you know, if you're you know, going to a SPCA or animal shelter and you're going to work there, then I would include that information. But some things that are important to you, and think about the company, go, okay, I want to work at Chick-fil-A, or I want to do sports medicine broadcast. What would they want to know about my life? You know, well, there are games afterwards, and you have to show up late, or show up early, and show up late, and get home late. So I would maybe mention that I've got a ride. You know, my parents are really good with me; they pick me up, they take me to school, and all. And so, make sure you know your story very well, and have those points ready on that. Other suggestions?
All right. So you said, yes, make sure you're on time. What happens if, you know, they have an 11 o'clock interview and they show up at like 10 o'clock and they're just kind of hanging out there? Does that look bad?
I don't think you can show up too early. Now, when I used to be, I was interviewed for Chick-fil-A, and I didn't know how traffic was. I was in Dallas, Texas, and I was interviewing at a different store, and I didn't know how traffic was going to be. So I left like 2 hours early, and it only took 30 minutes to get there. So I got there an hour and a half. Now, I didn't go in an hour and a half early. I just sat in my car, and I looked over some interview questions, and I kind of thought about, what was I going to say? So if you do get there an hour early, I wouldn't go in and say, hey, I'm here for the interview, because then you kind of put the interviewer, okay, you're here early, I've got other stuff I've got to take care of. They want to be conscious of your time as well. But if you come in and say, oh, I'm here early, don't worry, I'm just going to eat, and then I'm going to sit over here and think about some things, but whenever you're ready, that would be an option. If possible, I would just kind of sit in your car or sit outside and just kind of review some questions. Or you may go, that would be a good reason to show up at 10 o'clock, would be to go sit in the dining room and just watch our team members. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've only come in to eat and leave, and that's all you've done. But maybe you watch the team members. Then you can use what you see in your interview. Well, tell me about a time you served. Well, I noticed when I was sitting here earlier and watching your team, they tend to carry out trays for everyone, all of your guests. They tend to be very polite to your guests. I've never done that personally, but I think I could fit into that role because I serve with my parents. We went and we serve the homeless, or we serve people at our church or at school. You know, I helped Jeremy Jackson out with the sports broadcast. And so then you can parallel, wow, they watched the team members, what they were applying for. They liked it, and they got something out of it. So that could be a good use of showing up early. And so don't show up late, though. I had someone show up late one time. I said, so are you always on time? Yeah. Really? Well, you were late today. Well, this is the only time I would be late. Really? Yeah, I don't believe that. So.
All right, so then what would be late? Like, if an 11, say 11 o'clock interview is late for you, 10:55, late for you, 11 o'clock?
On time to me would be late. If you're showing up right on time, then I mean, because everyone's ready for the interview. You really want this job. It's the most important time. I'm thinking 3 or 4 months down the road where you're comfortable at Chick-fil-A, then you start showing up. Usually people show up a little bit later. And so if at the most important part of the job you show up exactly on time, I wouldn't put a mark against you, but it wouldn't be a positive in my book, but it wouldn't necessarily be a negative. But if you show up 5 to 15 minutes early, I consider that a good thing.
All right. Okay, so we talked about dress, time. You said know your story. Those are good things. I know yesterday when we were setting up and practicing, George asked me, George kind of took the lead and interviewed me some of these questions. He said, what makes me stand apart? So it was a little like I was put on the spot, and I was kind of like, but like you said, I knew my story. I was able to say this reason, this reason, this reason. And I think if I had prepared, I could have, you know, had bullet points or, you know, put things in a more logical order so it's not just seeming to, you know, when 10 years ago I did this, last week I did this, 2 months ago I did that, 15 years ago I did this, you know. So like you said, knowing your story, I think that's really good.
Right. And providing those examples too, because, you know, you talked about being dedicated. And I'm sure you're dedicated. I'm sure you've had examples of that. But thinking of those on the spot are more difficult. And so you think about, okay, they asked me my strengths. What am I going to say? But then take it a step further and go, what are some examples of that? Because then I really believe you. Now, I want to believe you just that you're going to tell me you're dedicated. But I've heard too many interviews say, oh, well, why should we pick you? I'm a hard worker and I have a good attitude. That's usually what I hear all the time. You know, and I've had people that don't smile the entire interview and they just seem negative the entire interview. But man, when it comes to that question, they've got a good attitude. And they go, wait a minute, you haven't shown me that at all. You know, and so you've got to be able to give some examples of, well, my strength, for me, one of my strengths is positivity, which is a good thing. It would work out at Chick-fil-A because I'm very happy all the time. I don't like a lot of negativity. So that kind of would be a negative for me. But at the same time, I love the customer service aspect. I love seeing people smile. You know, sitting around here, especially when I look at you, I see some good smiles here. And so that's how I would use my strength at Chick-fil-A. And so you would talk about your strengths and how would you use it here. And so that's an example of why you would want to make sure you know your story very well, but have some very good examples in addition to it.
All right, so, you know, this is set up so that Marlon is sitting face to face. Is that normally how you would run an interview, sitting face to face?
We do. Now, I'm a nice person. And so when I first started doing interviews, I would speak 60% of the time and they would speak 40% of the time. And I would sit across from them and I would help them on every interview. And so me being a nice guy, I found was not helping me differentiate between a great worker and someone that isn't. And so I really had to change that to where I'm actually a little bit meaner in my interview. I'm very short. I'll sit down with you. And then I go, oh, how are you? Tell me about yourself. And I try not to, I've had some people I'll interview and they start out just, oh, hi, Mr. Wilbanks. I'm so-and-so. I'm Monica. You know, I want to work at Chick-fil-A. And they're just super excited. And they go, well, thank you. Well, tell me about yourself. And so I kind of ask it in very monotone type because I really want to see at the end of the interview, are they still excited? And sometimes they'll still be at the end of the interview, go, all right, you know, thank you for letting me come in here. But usually I've kind of found out that if my energy level is low, some people will move down with that. And by the end of the interview, they started out with, oh, I love you. I love Chick-fil-A. I want to work here. And by the end of the interview, they're kind of like, yeah, and I'm awesome. You know, and so it really tells me, I mean, because when I think about Chick-fil-A, I go, okay, I want someone that the guest comes in, the guest has an expectation of you being happy, and they're not going to come in and say, oh, are you having a bad day, Monica? Let me help you out today. They don't do that. The guests don't do that. And so I want someone that can be happy without me assisting them. And so I like the one-on-one sitting across the table, you know, I would let them know that you're the teacher and you're the instructor and you're in charge of it. And so I think that lets them know that a lot of times people need to know it's a professional environment. And so I usually always have a tie on. I'm real professional about it. I apologize if I'm a little bit late or I apologize, whatever the reason. But I usually talk with them across the table. I shake their hand. I'll ask them their name, look in the eye. You'd be surprised by looking in someone's eye and shaking their hand. You can tell a lot about a person. And so if they want to be there, if they're an introvert, it doesn't always mean it's a good or bad hiring decision, but usually within 30 seconds, if I went, all of you shook my hand, I think almost everybody did. And I like that you have them shake hands before they come into class. I think that's awesome because by the way someone shakes their hand, a couple of you told me your name. I don't know who it was. There was two girls that walked in. One of you said, hey, good to meet you. My name's so-and-so. And then the other girl realized that she said it. So she turned around and said, oh, yeah, my name is so-and-so, which is great. I mean, I love the laughter and that she saw that. But it was really good that the other girl was very proactive about that and said, okay, I want to make sure you remember who I am. And so I always will walk up and shake their hand, and if they stand up or not, I just kind of want to know, okay, how were they raised? What were they taught as far as respect-wise? And so I look into that. So, but sitting right across, I'm a little bit meaner in the interview, I guess I would say, but that's for a reason. I want to know if I'm a mean guest, how are they going to handle that? And so, and you may give some examples. We do give some examples. Even for people who have never had a job before, I ask them, I go, so if a guest got pickles on their sandwich and they asked for to not have pickles on the sandwich, how would you handle that? And when I first started asking that question, I was a little worried because I was like, oh, no, you know, they've never had a job before. How do they know they're going to answer that? But I found that they'll figure it out. And some people will say, well, I don't know. And others will say, well, I would talk to the manager and try to figure out what I need to do to fix it and really help it and be really nice and apologetic about it. That's the exact right answer. You know, now we would coach you and say you don't have to ask a manager to just fix it. But, you know, the fact that they had an answer and that they would figure out how to solve the problem, that's excellent. You know, if a player fell on the field and broke their leg, what would you do? Well, an eighth grader that hasn't been taught anything may go, I don't know. Well, they got a broken leg. Hopefully they figure out something. Call 911. Call someone that does, right? Well, I would call Jeremy Jackson. That's who I know is an athletic trainer. So he'd be over at my house if my son broke his leg. And so would you have a reason? Because you wouldn't want to just sit there in the stands and go, oh, that kid, I bet that hurts. Whoa, they got a broke leg, you know? You know, you don't want those answers. But you'd be interested to see if you give some examples like that. You know, what do you do if we're running out of water and there's no water around at the stadium? Well, I would just tell you may get an answer if I would tell the players we don't have any water. Okay, not the best answer, right? You would, right. You would say, well, you want the guy that says, well, I would go across the street. If there's a Sonic, if there's a Chick-fil-A, I would go in and ask for Luke and see if we can have some of their water. Whatever answer they could find to fix the problem, because that's what you want. You want people that will build and add value to the organization. And so, and that's one part as well, is that good questioner, or what you're looking for is, okay, how do you add value to the organization? Because I've only got three types of people that work for me. People that cost me money, people that don't cost me or make me money, and people that make me money. Now, life isn't all about money. I have to put that disclaimer in there. But those three types of people are the ones that work for me. And if you're the ones making my life easier, making my manager's life easier, and increasing, making the guest's life better, and when they're coming in, they're asking for you. We have some cashiers that people, that guests, when they come in, they want to be waited on by that person because of the way that they treat them and handle them. And so that's awesome. And so that's another thing, too, is that, how are you going to add value to this program? And if you ask that and someone says, well, I notice at the games that you don't have a very good way to get water there or something. And they say, and I think I could solve that. I have a good reason, a good help on that. Wow. You know, and you may ask some questions, you know, well, we have some issues with this. How would you help out in that? You know, the teamwork atmosphere, however that may be. And so, but how are you going to add value and make us better? And that may be a good question, you know, because some people may say, oh, make us better. I just want to be a part of it, man. I don't really want to, you know, make us better. and so that may be a good question to ask as well, is how do you add value? Cause that's what we're looking for at Chick-fil-A, is do you cost me money? Those people don't work there long. If you don't cost me but don't make me any money, you may stay until I find someone that makes us money. And those are the people that, you know, when they work the cash register, they're helping the guest out, you know. Oh, yeah, I didn't know I could get a meal with that, with fries and a drink. Or, I didn't know you had large veil. I didn't know you had cookies here. Oh, excellent. Well, yeah. And so that's what I look for as well.
My pleasure.
And the my pleasure. That would be awesome as well.
Okay. That's a lot. I've written down a lot of notes, and Michelle's taking a lot of notes. Anybody else have any questions for Mr. Wilbanks again about interviews, about Chick-fil-A?
I want to work at Chick-fil-A.
Excellent. And what you said earlier about taking the pamphlets to the room and having them go sign up online, good example is I used to talk to students at schools, and I would bring applications with me. And the time I took applications, I gave 200 out and got 200 back. But I made it too easy, and I found out that I didn't find any good talent in those 200. And so I like that you forced them to go to a website. So I would tell, is that George that said that? I would tell George, oh, you can apply online. And so that way he has to be bought in. I'm not going to make it so easy that you just, you know, I'll hire you. You just come interview here. You do have to come inside for the interview. You have to get there. You have to dress up a little bit. And by the way, you have to go online and fill out the application. So come see us.
There you go. See, and he already knows your name, George.
There you go.
Sitting good. Yeah, see, that's one of the things that this year I thought about that exact thing is we had several computers the year before where they would just come fill it out there. And, you know, then you just get people filling it out because their friend is, because their friend is, because their friend is.
Exactly.
And so this year I tried to, I still took some computers because, you know, some it's hard to do it on the phone or whatever. But I think the ones that fill it out afterwards, for the most part, are going to be the ones that are more likely because they're the ones that took that extra step, filled it out on their own time, meaning that it actually meant something to them and not just because everybody else was doing it.
Right, and I think that's a great
point.
So
maybe in the future that's something that I'll do is make sure that there's not a way, like I don't provide a way for them to sign up, but that I allow them to on their own, either, you know, their phone, the computer lab, whatever it is, but...
Right. They have to do it. And we've started using a program where it's about 30 minutes to fill out the application. It's no longer just your name and your history and stuff like that. It actually goes through and asks you math questions, reading questions, what would you do in this situation? And so if they've submitted an application, I know they actually really want to work there because it took 30 minutes to fill out the application. If they're just filling applications, you know, throwing 100 darts and hoping they hit a dartboard at some point, I don't want my dartboard to be there. I want them to work somewhere else. And that's important as well, is you want people that want to work for you, and I think that's a great – or work with you in your organization. I think that's great.
Awesome. Okay. It's just about that time, but anybody else have any questions? So y'all should have ordered Chick-fil-A, and then we could have just stayed here, had Chick-fil-A, and talked.
I should have brought Chick-fil-A, right?
She asked that.
She said, is he going to bring Chick-fil-A?
I like your cookie sundae.
The cookie sundae,
it's
that's
so
a good one.
It's so good. Oh, my gosh.
He's like, no.
All right, so anybody here not been to Chick-fil-A?
I've only been like once.
You've never been?
Never been. There we go.
Laura, Morena.
You need to come eat Chick-fil-A.
I went there Friday, and I ate the cookie sundae. It was so good. Oh, my God.
Oh, and I got to tell you this, Luke. Sam, he's my almost 2-year-old. Anytime we say, Sam, where are you going? Chick-fil-A! Chick-fil-A! Anytime. Sam, where did daddy go? Chick-fil-A! So, yes, we've officially or sufficiently branded Sam to Chick-fil-A. So.
We really try to appeal to those moms when they come in and we tell them, oh, that's great. You're starting them early with those nuggets. And
yep.
So it really helps
Chick-fil-A!
Out. One mom told me the other day, she said, yeah, we were driving by. And anytime we drive by and they say Chick-fil-A, they say the kids' version of Chick-fil-A.
We'll go by McDonald's. Chick-fil-A! Taco Bell. Chick-fil-A! So we still got a little training, but at least he's saying Chick-fil-A.
That. Yes, there we go.
So, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and close it out so these guys can go to lunch. Jocelyn, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Did you come up with any Jocelyn lingo for this one? We're trying to make it more personal. What she really wanted to say is we want to give a shout out to these people, but she just didn't.
What? You didn't tell me.
Just, go ahead.
You wanted me to say something about, like, oh.
Something homie.
Homie, yes. Like, holla at me. And, yes. I'm not like that.
But all right, go ahead.
I'm just going to go with what's on here. Of course, we want to mention the people who help support us. Greater Houston Athletic Trainers Society for sponsoring CEU opportunities, Pasadena IZ Education Foundation, and Chick-fil-A for all the support of the community, the school, and this broadcast.
Again, like I said, this is the second time Luke's been on here, but he's done multiple things throughout the course of me knowing him to support us, either me here, what I'm doing at the school, what the school district's doing, where they do the great chicken kick and those kind of things are things in the community. I know he supported the Financial Peace University class I taught at my church. And so really just a thank you for everything you're doing here. So
it's our pleasure. Thanks for having us and thanks for what you're doing. My parents are both teachers and I've heard lots of stories and I appreciate what you do. And so and y'all make sure you thank Jeremy because you learn, or Mr. Jackson, you learn a lot in school. And I found the ones that have great teachers and great parents that pour into the kids' lives really are the best people that I want to hire. And so make sure you use him as an asset and say, hey, teach me. What do I need to do? Because, yeah, your friends are important right now, but the lessons you're learning right now really make a difference when you get older.
Very cool. And final public safety announcement. I guess that's right. Again, we're looking for people to interview over the summer. I'll more or less be doing that solo since kids don't usually come up during summer break. But we want to continue the podcast weekly during the summer. And you can contact me by going to the website, and it's got all the information there. SportsMedicineBroadcast.com. So again, the SportsMedicineBroadcast.com. Again, almost every Wednesday about 10:30. Sometimes we're a little late because we have some technical difficulties. But again, SportsMedicineBroadcast.com has all that information.
Follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, Google Plus Sports Medicine Broadcast, and Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training.
So for Jeremy,
George,
Laura.
Ida.
Brianna.
Jocelyn.
Marissa.
Lorena.
Marlon.
Luke.
That's a wrap.